really needs.
So 10 to 16 is about Karmakanda leading to Karma Yoga. So what are some of the principles of Karmakanda? So what is in general in Karmakanda section of Vedas?
In
summary.
The fruitive activities.
Fruitive activities. There are some sacrifices.
Rituals and sacrifices that you need to do for your prosperity.
Prosperity, yeah. So Krishna said, along with men and demigods, I have also sent forth the sacrifices. So by doing those sacrifices, you can live happily in this life and gradually achieve liberation. So the thing is, for people who are still attached to material enjoyment, there is a gradual path for achieving liberation. So that's the whole thing. And this is the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. But what is the main driving point for us? It's like, is it meant for all of the people, Karmakanda?
Not for elevated.
Yeah, so people who are already ready to accept Vishnu as a supreme, they need not go through this gradual process. Right? They can directly worship Vishnu. So that's why Prabhupada said, people in the mode of goodness, they can directly worship Vishnu. Then we briefly discussed about demigods and what happens if you worship them. Right? So can somebody share some points about that? Who are demigods, what happens if we worship them?
We'll get the results not from them. The power is coming from Krishna. Oh. But Krishna. So whatever we are doing the yajna for, that will get.
Okay. So who especially are demigods in the first place? Who are they?
The ministers that they have the positions, and it's a post.
It's a post, and they are ministers, and they are also in the material realm, Do they also go through a cycle of birth and death?
Yes.
Yeah, so they also go through a cycle of birth. So if we worship them, what's the destination we attain?
We'll
go to their destination. Like, Ganesha planet, or if he has a planet. So...
But did you say they are in material realm? I thought they were a little elevated. They're not in the same material world as us, right?
Yeah, they are in the same material world as us. In the sense, in the universe. Universe.
But their lifespan is much longer.
Yeah, right? Correct.
Brahma's post.
That's correct. Yeah.
But in the same universe.
Because at the time of dissolution of universe, they also have to, go and take birth again, destroy. Yeah.
So who are some of these demigods?
Like Brahma, Ganesha, and Durga. Okay, this is okay, right? We have special guests today. Saket.
Two guests.
3 guests.
There's my bag.
Okay. So that's something about demigods, right? So what? Some sections in 7th chapter we read, right? Where Krishna was telling that, if somebody wants to worship a demigod, Krishna himself gives the faith to worship the demigod, and also whatever results he's getting from the demigod, it's sanctioned actually by Krishna. So it's very clear who is the ultimate sanctioning authority and who has all the power, Prime Minister. So if you directly have access to Prime Minister, we don't have to go through all this, Finance Minister and all those other ministers. So that's the thing, point there. And then what is the process of Karmakanda? So Krishna is saying here in verse number 11, so essentially there is yajñas, that's verse number 10, and demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, they will please you, and by the cooperation between men and demigods. So it's like, they both mutually gratify their senses, then prosperity will reign. In text number 12, Krishna is saying that demigods being satisfied with the performance yagya, they will supply all the necessities. But what is our duty? Our duty is to actually offer them back, essentially doing yagyas. Otherwise, we are called
thieves.
So Krishna is saying we will be called thieves. And the next verse, text number 13, Krishna is saying again, one who eats the food which are not offered first in sacrifice, they are eating only sin. So it's very clear here, you know, that one should always eat offered food, especially we offer to Vishnu or Krishna.
Why such a strong word, sin?
Yeah, it's that's what Krishna is saying, no? We are just eating sin. If we don't, essentially it's like, you know, it's like thief. We owe so much to so many people, but without paying our debts, you know, we try to just enjoy, grab ourselves, then definitely we are going to incur sin or we will be called thieves.
The sentence is that without offering to God, if we eat, that's a sin, but that may not be the intention, that you may not be grabbing really. You may be just eating normally, but not offering.
Yeah, that's
to
what,
God.
So the whole point is the very existence, our very existence is meant for self-realization. So if you forget that whole point and convert our life towards sense gratification, then our life will completely be sinful. That's the whole point. It's like Krishna also calls miserly persons, right? Like, you know, we'll become misers because we are not using the value of life, right? And then because we are not paying our debts, we are pretty much thieves. And, you know, because of that, we have to face reactions. And the actual process is given in text number 14. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. So I was listening to one lecture today. So he was telling, you know, this first line, you know, it seems so simple, right? Annad bhavanti bhutani. All living bodies subsist on food grains. But it's actually, Prabhu was saying, you know, it's a critique to industrial civilization. There's so many industries and so many things, you know, we are creating so that, you know, we get some enjoyment or whatever. But actually, in essence, we all are subsisting on food grains. Mm. So, he was sharing one incident. One time, Srila Prabhupada was going to Vrindavan. And then he saw that in a ground, they were ready to build factories. Then Srila Prabhupada was saying, see, you know, what they are doing, such a nice land. Instead of growing grains, you know, which everybody can eat and live happily, they are building factories. And then he made this famous statement saying, you know, man cannot live by eating nuts and bolts. No, ultimately, he said, you know, ultimately, by this industrial revolution, at one time they will be there will not be any food because all the land will be taken for industry. Then what will we eat? That's why all this drought, everything, right? But actually, as you know, the Rajesh Prabhu knows, Om Purnamadam, right? This universe is complete in itself. Everything, whatever is needed to sustain, is there. But if we misuse like this, then it becomes, you know, that, what is that, green?
Revolution.
Greenhouse effect, green, right? Like, effect. Then it becomes like chaos. Everything becomes chaos. Because we don't perform our duties of yagyas, then demigods are not pleased. There will not be enough rain. You know, in India also, right? Bangalore, you know, no rain for so many years or days. Why? Because cow killing is more and more prominent, and, you know, sinful life without offering sacrifice, you know, without caring for, you know, things we need to do with respect to our duties in life, then obviously that's how we face sin, because we will not get enough back from the nature. And then Krishna is saying rains are produced because of yagyas, you know, because demigod Indra is pleased by yagyas. And yagyas, and who defines this yagyas? Yagyas are born out of prescribed duties, and prescribed duties are defined in the Vedas. So ultimately, what are Vedas? Vedas are
prescribed duty.
Vedas are how? Who manufactured Vedas?
Apurusha
means
from
Vishnu. So Vedas are emanating from breathing of the breath of the Lord, right? So Lord created Vedas. So prescribed duties are given in the Vedas. So ultimately all living bodies are dependent on the Lord. That's the whole connection, if you give the sequence, right? Living bodies are dependent on the rain, food grains are dependent on the rain, rains are born of yagyas, yagyas are born out of prescribed duties, and prescribed duties are defined in the Vedas. Vedas are given by the Lord. So ultimately all living bodies are dependent on the Lord.
Mataji, a question, and maybe it is about the way the process is described, yagyas and everything. It involves community. Like, it's not my yagya is usually performed by a lot of people. When he gives training, gives rain to a lot of people. But so far, all the process we've been talking about was about individual and atma and soul. So suddenly, how does that relate to the? So now community as a whole has to please Indra.
Exactly. So that's right.
How does there is a mixture of person individuality versus a community? How does that?
So, yeah, actually that's a good point. Like, you know, like if you go to some city where there is drought, like let's say, you know, I become alone Krishna conscious, will rain come?
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't happen. So it's a cumulative effect, you know, that causes that karma to happen. But at the same time, it starts with individual.
Yeah, but if I'm self-realized, doesn't help.
It will help in the sense that, you know, you can make others self-realized. In that sense, you know, together, you know, gradually will help the whole community, and then things will work out.
You know that people will die out of town.
That's why.
Because of that
body will die. Come back again.
So that's why. That shows, you know, how how eager we are in Krishna consciousness, right? You know, we know it's not going to happen in this life. So, that reminds me of one incident. Hopefully, I'll be able to recollect nicely. Srila Prabhupada's incident. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, the 10 years, you know, while he was traveling extensively, he was also translating books, right? All Srimad Bhagavatam, everything. So he used to stay up in the night, you know, wee hours in the night to, you know, get up and translate the books, everything. And of course, you know, his servants, whoever takes care of, you know, whatever his needs, everything, he will be, you know, sleeping or outside or something like that, quarters. So then, I don't know exactly what happened, but suddenly Prabhupada was translating and he had to go outside or something. He saw that disciple sleeping. Then Srila Prabhupada woke him up and said, you know, why are you sleeping? Wake up and chant your japa, it's 2 o'clock or something. Then he looked at the watch and said, Prabhupada, it's 2 o'clock, you know, it's time to sleep. No, it's, you know, get up and chant, why are you, you know, see, I'm doing my duty of translating, why don't you get up and chant? Says, Prabhupada, you are a pure devotee, I'm not a pure devotee, you know, I cannot do. Said, why don't you become a pure devotee? He says like that. So,
Mataji, verse 13 actually has when Prabhupada has given a very, very only eat only sin. But if you look at the translation, Bhujyante, Eto Agham Papa, which is, you know,
grievous. Yeah, that's the point, is we think it's a normal life. Divya, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, that's how, you know, we are so conditioned to think this is normal way of living. But if you see what Lord thinks about us, right? You know, that gives a completely different picture, you know. He calls it a sin, means, you know, that's what it is. And we don't even know, you know, that this is a normal way of thinking, you know, this is a normal way of living, this is not. We don't even have that knowledge. Okay. So, we didn't discuss the purport of 14th chapter, right? 14th verse, that's where we left last time. So we can start today's section from there. So any more points or questions or comments so far? So we can read this verse again and then we read section of the purport. Annad bhavanti bhutani pachanyadanna sambhava yajnad bhavanti pachanyo yajna karma sambhava. Annad bhavanti bhutani pachanyadanna sambhava yajnad bhavanti pachanyo yajna karma sambhava. it's very nice. In Sanskrit also it's very sweet, you know, the sequence. Right? Annad Bhavanti Bhutani, you know, from then Pajanyat Anna Sambhava, Yajnat Bhavati Pajanyo, Yajna Karma Samudbhava. Somebody who knows Sanskrit, it's very sweet. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. So we discussed that, right? You know the sequence, and then how ultimately all the living entities are dependent on the Lord because the prescribed duties are given in the Vedas. So we read a section of the purport, like maybe, you know, 10 lines below, where it says, when Lord Krishna is worshipped, whoever gets it, yeah, Swami.
Oh, when Lord Krishna is worshipped, the demigods who are different limbs of the Lord are also automatically worshipped. Therefore, there is no separate need to worship the demigods. For this reason, the devotees of the Lord who are in Krishna consciousness offer food to Krishna and then eat, a process which nourishes the body spiritually. By such action, not only are the past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. When there is an epidemic disease, an antiseptic vaccine protects a person from the attack of such an epidemic. Similarly, food offered to Lord Vishnu and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection, and one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness who eats only the food offered to Krishna can counteract all reactions of past material inflections which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. On the other hand, one who does not do so continues to increase the volume of sinful action, and this prepares the next body to resemble hogs and dogs to suffer the resultant reactions of all sins. The material world is full of contaminations, and one who is immunized by accepting prasadam of the Lord, food offered to Lord Vishnu, is saved from the attack, whereas one who does not do so becomes subjected to contamination.
Oh, very powerful, right? You know, this shows the emphasis of prasadam, right? So nice. If at all, you know, we want to
know. If we tell this to someone who is not in Krishna consciousness, they will say, what happened to all? Everyone is doing the same thing. What happened to everyone? We don't know, right? Why we need to do this?
Yeah.
The same thing, if I tell my mother some point, then she will tell me the same thing. ఏమైంది ఇప్పటి వరకు చేసిన వాళ్ళకి ఏమన్నా మనకు కూడా ఏమైతుంది ఏం కాదు.
Yeah, that's without knowledge, right? That's why we don't know. We think, you know, sometimes it's seemingly they are happy, right? Seemingly, you know, they are rich, they are happy. So we feel like, oh, nothing is happening to them. But you know, this account is being maintained, right? The moment of death, Yamaraja is going to take the account. Because the Lord's words are there. For us, at least, you know, we have that knowledge. So we can get convinced first, and slowly, you know, we can try to share with them in the way they can understand. Or you can tell that, you know, after eating this, I'm feeling more energetic. In that way, you know, if they can relate like that.
So what is like the process of offering food to God? Just bow and then ask God to have the food. That's it, right? It's as simple as that.
Yeah, a little bit like we discussed this last time. You were there?
I was watching.
Okay. Yeah, so we try to make it in, like, you know, plate which we don't eat. Maybe, you know, if we have silver plates, then we can use those plates. Okay. First of all, you know, ideally,
While cooking,
we have the consciousness that, you know, it's for Krishna. Initially, we cook whatever we like to eat. Gradually, hopefully, you know, we'll cook what Krishna likes to eat after finding out what he wants to eat.
How do you find that?
Prabhu, somebody
said.
Yeah, there is...
But generally,
that's the verse here. But
that's a minimum.
No, as our love and devotion increases... Prabhu, as the love and devotion increases, you know, this will be revealed. In the sense, we'll inquire.
But it's not documented.
It's there also. There is one prayer by Bhaktivinod Thakur where he details, you know, the different things Krishna eats, like saag and other things. I don't know details. But there will be more details. Like, you know, that reminds me of one incident. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, right? He started a newspaper. I don't know the name of the newspaper. Yeah, he started a newspaper saying, you know, this is the newspaper talking about news from the spiritual world. So every day, one print every daily newspaper in a particular city, in Calcutta, I think. Yeah. So then somebody questioned, what news you have, how can you write a newspaper every day from spiritual world, it's what is there. Then he explained so much, material world, he explained the whole creation, how it happens, Vishnu emanates the universes, so many universes have come in one breath, right? And in one universe, there's 14 planetary systems. In 14 planetary systems, Earth is one planet. Within the Earth, there are so many countries and, cities, nations, everything. And within that, there is one country, India. Within that, there is Calcutta. Within that, there is small city. In that small city, whatever is happening, there is 5 newspapers every day. Right? And still, they are repeating the same stuff. But that Lord who created these many universes is doing so many activities, and how can this one universe be enough? One newspaper be enough? So similarly, I was thinking, we may think, patram pushpam phalam toyam, that's all right. But there are so many other details in the spiritual world. That's what
you know that,
we will gradually, we'll get to know. So
start off with patram
pushpam.
Yeah.
To begin with, just offer what you are eating for now.
Yeah.
So just offer.
Then we were there, right?
But you should only offer things that are made without anin garam.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not that whatever you eat, you can offer.
So in a way, they're saying don't eat
anin garam.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then we can put offer tulsi leaf. We do achaman, sanctify ourselves. I can tell that later.
Okay.
And then put that achaman in each of the food items. And sometimes we can offer salt also if we think, it doesn't have enough salt. Because we don't taste the food, right? Then we offer to Krishna, pray to Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mantra and then Hare Krishna mantra. Now let Krishna eat for 5-10 minutes. Then we can take the offering and add it to our, the main bhoga. We can say the prayer before honoring the prasad and accept it as mercy of the Lord. Yeah. So that is literal thing, the way we do. But internally, it's all about consciousness. We should remind ourselves of this principle. Without eating prasadam, I am going to be affected by this material contamination. So Krishna, who knows this prasadam prayer? Nobody, maybe we never discuss this. It's a very nice prasadam prayer. Maybe next time we can take at least one print out and...
Eating?
What is it?
Mahaprasade Govinde, right? We'll not say that now. So, we can take that print out, or maybe I'll ask Prabhu to share it on the email, right? That's a prayer in the translation which says, Lord, you have given the mercy, your mercy. By eating that, I'm getting, energy to practice Krishna consciousness. That's, my translation, but there is very nice... So we can say that prayer before honoring prasadam. There, when we see the meaning also, that more principles of prasadam are revealed. So here, if you read this purport carefully, right, if you see, Prabhupada is detailing all the benefits of eating prasadam. So we'll try to, highlight it as bullets. So, we can, I didn't do it earlier, so let's do it now together. So first is the process which nourishes the body spiritually, right? That's the first point. Eating prasadam nourishes the body spiritually. So this is like fifth line in the paragraph you read. So the second point is, by such action, past sinful reaction of the body is vanquished. Second benefit. And third one is, body becomes immunized by contamination of material nature. And fourth one is, again it's similar to that, and it makes it basically sufficiently resistant to material affection. It's similar to the third point actually, immunized to contamination of material nature.
Where is the last point?
It's like little bit two lines below that. Food offered to Vishnu can make us sufficiently resistant to material affection. Then afterwards, like few lines below, fifth point is, one can counteract all reactions of past material affections, which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. And the sixth point is, material world is full of contaminations. One he is immunized is saved from the attack. Whereas one who doesn't, you know, he is subjected to contamination. See, now
what is the third bullet, right?
Yeah.
The last one is the same as the third bullet.
Yes.
So once
contamination material.
First one was eating prasad. This what now?
Nourishes the body.
Spiritually.
Okay.
It's all in the purpose. It's just bulleting. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about all these points and see, you know, so that we can dive deeper into this meaning. So first is, eating prasadam nourishes the body spiritually. How is it so? Because prasadam, the bhoga, becomes spiritual because it's accepted by the Lord, right? So then it acts on us spiritually. Instead of not only giving us material strength, it also helps us in our journey to spiritual world. And the second point Prabhupada is saying, body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. So not only are that ingredients become sanctified which are cooking, but also it gives, you know, wherever we are living, there's so much contamination due to the modes of material nature. So Srila Prabhupada is telling that, you know, we become immunized. It's like, you know, vaccine. So just today we had to go take our kids for the, you know, the 6th month vaccination, you know, so many injections. Then the doctor was telling so much, you know, this epidemic, that epidemic, so many things, you know. And just by taking this vaccine, you know, you'll protect your kids from so many, you know, months of staying in the hospital. So then I was thinking, you know, by taking prasadam, we'll be immunized from, you know, staying in this material world for so many lifetimes. So, and the fourth point is, again, same thing, right? Sufficiently resistant to material affection. And also Prabhupada is telling next point, can counteract all reaction of past material affections. So not only that we are proofed for future, but also past conditionings and past affections will not affect us anymore. No, past habits like, you know, eating sweets or so many things, right? So we will be sufficiently satisfied. So we don't get that anchoring, you know, I want to eat this. Right? And then finally, you know, same thing, you know, immunized by accepting, is saved from attack of this material world. Yeah. Otherwise, we are eating sin and we are subjected to this contamination. So whenever we have to eat non-prasadam, we should think twice whether we are benefiting us really spiritually or not. Okay. So we'll read the last few lines of the purport. The field of protection. In the last 6 lines, the field protection is due to sufficient rain
from the sky, and such rains are controlled by demigods like Indra, Sun, Moon, etc., and they are all servants of the Lord. The Lord can be satisfied by sacrifices, therefore one who cannot perform them well will find himself in scarcity. That is the law of the nature. Yajna, specifically Sankirtana Yajna, prescribed for this age, must therefore be performed to save us at least from scarcity of food supply. Mm.
So, you know, as Krishna said, right, Yajna has to be performed in order to get the supplies back. But in this age, Sankirtana Yajna is recommended. And the other point here is, Prabhupada is saying, at least for scarcity of food supply. That means there are greater benefits of Yajna. Not just food, right? You know, there are greater benefits which are to attain love of God, right? But the minimally what we get is, at least we'll get the food. To eat, to sustain ourselves. Yeah. Okay.
This yajna is. If Veda said, you know, do yajna, you'll get something. Well, Lord is also saying something. Like, do this, you'll get something, right? I mean,
do something, right? It's karma, right?
Yes,
but
so that's why
the path was slightly different. It was like,
yes,
more like do it for the Lord and be more,
yes,
selfless, think about the,
yes,
Lord, and,
yes,
and you know. But now it is coming back to,
no,
like,
it's, so that's why we are still in this Karmakanda section, right? See, Karmakanda is slowly leading to Karma Yoga. So Karmakanda is still about me only, what I get.
Yeah.
It's like profit and loss kind of thing, right? But Karma, when it comes to Karma Yoga, where we connect to the Lord, we do it selflessly without attachment for the pleasure of the Lord, and then gradually it becomes Bhakti Yoga. But that's the, you know, but that's what we have been taught all through. That's why, you know, we feel like, you know, this is a lower level of platform, lower platform. But as you rightly said, this is a lower platform. if you just try to do, like, let's say, you know, if you just try to chant so that, you know, I get food today, no, then we are kind of doing karmakanda only. But actually, you know, we're chanting because we want to please the Lord, you know, ultimately we want to purify ourselves and, you know, we want to attain love for Krishna. But if you chant so that, you know, I can maintain my job, or, you know, chant so that I get more money, then it becomes, you know, the spiritual effect of chanting will not be there actually.
What if I chant and then I'm completely in bhakti, but I forget to do offering the food to the Lord and those kind of things, then where does that put me? Like, am I incomplete? Like, or is my bhakti incomplete?
Then definitely you are not complete in bhakti.
So which means the Lord is demanding some karma kind of thing.
No, it's
for
not
us only. It is for us. Like, yeah. These are just steps.
No, Lord is not demanding karmakanda. Karmakanda is one level of performance of whatever you can do. No, ultimately Lord is demanding pure bhakti. He is demanding, definitely, I can say. He is demanding pure bhakti.
Mother, this is karma yoga, right? Not karmakanda. This is karmakanda.
Karmakanda leading up to karma yoga.
The last two lines, it is yagna is for scarcity of food supply. This is karmakanda, right? I got confused. Like, this is for karma yoga or karma kanda.
At least,
life.
That's why there is at least.
Yajna. Sankirta yajna is meant for, you know, it's ultimately to meant for getting pure love for Krishna. But minimally, Prabhupada is telling you, at least you'll get food. Means there are many other benefits of doing Sankirtan yajna. But first it starts with food, you know, then you'll feel mental peace, then you'll get auspiciousness. There's so many. There are six. Nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion, I think. Yeah, there are six auspicious results of performing bhakti yoga.
So this Sankirtana yajna is part of karma yoga.
It's bhakti yoga, yeah, we
bhakti
can say
yoga.
Like that. Yeah, it's bhakti yoga. And basically, this is the Krishna consciousness process.
Yeah.
Well, I think you missed last class, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mataji, I have a question.
Yes, Mataji.
This is actually, you said, no, like when by doing chanting we will get a good job kind of thing. So sometimes it happens when we are working here in USA, basically there is no permanent job kind of stuff for some of the people, especially by like me. Okay, so in that case, even though the intention is not behind the chanting is like getting a good job or kind of thing, but that when that issue comes, even though we are doing chanting, sometimes it will running on the background. So how do we control and what is the remedy for that?
Yeah, you're speaking for all of us. Everybody has the same thing, right? If not job, something else.
Yeah. So how we can come out of that situation?
At least minimally, we can start with saying, you know, these are certain situations I have in the material, you know, my life, which are actually obstructing me in fully taking to bhakti. So, you know, Krishna, please help me, you know, to come, somehow give me the strength to deal with this. So, we can do it in a way of taking shelter, taking help from Krishna that, you know, these situations I am in, I am not able to, you know, deal with him, with them. And eventually I am afraid that these will actually take away my Krishna consciousness and it will completely consume me. So please kindly give me the necessary strength and, you know, the faith to sustain them. At the same time, maintain my Krishna consciousness. I can, you know, speak to myself, right? Like, after we have kids, life changed, like, you know, so much drastically, right? So every day, you know, my chanting is, no, Krishna only knows what chanting it is. But then, you know, we are trying to chant whatever we are chanting so that, you know, we can sustain our Krishna consciousness.
Continuing chanting is okay, but as you said, when it is running behind in the background, sometimes, like, not may not be always, but in very critical situation, which we cannot avoid, like, our mind is a kind of wavering stuff. So even though the intention is not behind that, like, yeah. Okay.
So that's why, so we can, as Krishna said, right, in Bhagavad Gita, he said, by constant practice and detachment. So this is what Arjuna says in 6th chapter. You know, Krishna, whatever yoga process, Krishna talks about jnana yoga. He says, whatever yoga process you are telling, it's so difficult. You know, he talks about, you know, breathing, inhaling, exhaling, controlling.
Yeah.
He said, you know, it's so difficult and mind is like raging wind. You know, how can I control this mind? Then what Krishna says, you know, it can be done by constant practice and detachment. So this is the tip Krishna is giving, you know, we have to constantly practice, we have to do our part. constantly, as you know, we know background music is running, you know, try to turn it off, you know, try to bring the mind to Krishna again and again, try to hear the holy name.
One thing when you were discussing the Supreme importance of the chanting when you were going around, one of the points was like listen to the
hear the holy name, the next one. Yes.
So the next one, next one. So
thank you,
Hare Krishna.
That helps.
Yeah.
Like,
listening each word when
listening
you're speaking,
each, listening the next one, so that we
can engage ourselves.
Yeah, instead of thinking I have to do 100 a day, just say I have to do one more. Okay, one more, like listening to that.
One mantra at a time.
One mantra.
Yeah, just try to hear the holy name.
One more.
So, Mataji, just add something. Listening to Velukudi Swami's lectures for the Bhagavad Sutta. So, regarding chanting, right? So, you are saying this interesting story. So it seems a fisherman found a priceless diamond in the belly of the fish. So he took it to a jeweler and he said, well, give me some money for today's food. The jeweler recognized it as a very rare diamond. So he gave him, okay, take 100 rupees, you go. So then he polished that thing, white polish, and he took it to the king and sold it for like 20 crore rupees.
Mm-hmm.
So the king did not sell to another king for 40 crores, but rather gave it to his queen, and the queen just had it for herself. So Velukudi Swami was saying that if you chant the holy name for just asking for material things, that is, you are just being the fisherman giving for 50 rupees.
Mm.
You are asking for liberation, you become the jeweler who asks for 20 crores.
Yeah.
But if you are the king, you just offer it to your
beloved,
so that she can enjoy or he can enjoy.
Mm.
So that's how you are supposed to do it.
Mm.
And he was also saying that if you do it for that higher purpose, all the other lower things get satisfied.
Yes.
But if you do for the lower purpose, vice versa, it doesn't work.
Exactly. You remain at that level. Yeah. Correct. Very
but
nice.
Totally get that. But I think our question was more like, we are trying to force ourselves to do that. But at the same time, in the back of the mind, there's always, because
mind
we fear consequences, right?
Yes.
I think one thing which always keeps in the back of the mind is something we know that, hey, okay, it's like, job am I going to lose? Or am I going to get like this promotion or not? So it's like the fear of consequences is what's really harboring that particular thought at the background, right?
Huh.
So if we, let's say, if we don't, how can we not fear that consequence? Then in that case, we can say, I don't care about what happens and all. Then you are much more relaxed, right?
Yes.
Whereas if you think that, okay, there's only a negative impact is when that keeps in the back of the mind.
So that happens. So the only way or only remedy for that is our gradual increase of our bhakti or, you know, gradual increase of our shelter in the Lord. When we feel more and more protection from the Lord, then we don't have to, you know, keep worrying about all these things actually, you know.
And chanting helps in any way.
Yeah, chanting is, you know, step
that.
We start with that and then, you know, gradually when we increase our bhakti, then we feel more and more Lord's protection actually. I was trying to share from whatever I am experiencing these days, so that's how I can relate. I hope it's not quoted in different context. So no, kids, right? They keep changing all the time. Something or the other, you know, something new they do. So last 1 month or something, my younger kid, what he's doing is he wants to sleep more. So night he's hungry, he gets up, but he doesn't drink milk. You know, if you have to force him into so many things, and you know he's hungry, he doesn't sleep also. So that thing he practiced, and daytime also he's now doing like that. So for about 1 month or something, you know, it was a struggle, you know, trying to see, you know, why he's doing like this. We couldn't able to figure out. But somehow, you know, we are just, you know, trying to, you know, feed him and maybe thinking, you know, this is how it is, he will change or whatever. So what happened, something suddenly is, like, my husband's colleague from work, he just came to visit us, his wife and kids. Suddenly he came and he saw us, and then I was trying to put that child to sleep in a swing. We have a swing and, you know, we kill it. First thing he saw, he said that, you know, this swing is not good, you know, it doesn't give proper support for the back, you know, why are you using this swing, you know. You can use it maybe, you know, 5-10 minutes, but you cannot put the baby, you know, forever here, and it's not good at all. And anything, if you have to change for the kids, it's so difficult, right, you know, because they're habituated to some. So we didn't even attempt, actually. But then next day at work, he came to my husband and he spoke to him very strongly, you know, don't do this. Somehow my Prabhu got very inspired. He came and that night only he tried to practice him without swing, you know, try to put him to rest. And somehow it worked. And I was also so happy. We did that for one day. Just try to not use the swing and make him sleep. Everything changed. Since then, you know, he sleeps so nicely and he doesn't refuse his drinking milk. Because now he's getting enough rest. When he's hungry, he wants to drink. So then I felt, you know, it's like a miracle, you know, who helps where, how Lord helps, we don't. At least I felt, you know, somehow Krishna helped us through that person. So I, you know, I told husband to call him and thank him, you know, somehow, you know, it helps so much because the boy is getting good sleep and, you know, it. Otherwise, we put him to sleep, 15 minutes he gets up, you have to swing him for half an hour, he sleeps 10 minutes, 15 minutes again, he gets up. So much time consumes, you know, and he's also not getting enough rest. So these things, we didn't even have a clue, you know, this is causing this, this is causing this, this is causing this. But somehow, I felt like, you know, it's some magic. Anyway, I don't know if it applies to all of you, but yeah, it's some
English. It applies in the, it may not be the same context, but different context. Sometimes we feel in our lives, okay, how am I going to solve this thing? And then from somewhere, something comes, if we are short of some money or whatever in different contexts or anything. It comes from somewhere, just for the thing.
So the,
and then you feel...
Yes. So the point is, most of the time we spend worrying actually. But if we, so much time we spend in taking shelter of the Lord. No, I'm speaking to myself actually, you know, I wish I can do that. Then, you know, these things will be solved. All those things will be solved.
Right now, since we don't have complete
we should start and then we should develop it gradually, you know. We should start where we are, you know, we don't get it, we don't become pure, as Prabhupada is asking that person to become pure devotee. We will not become pure devotees overnight, but we start, and when we hear the, you know, the pastimes of the Lord with his devotees, you know, how he protects the devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, you know, so much, right? When we get faith from there, and you know, we wish we be like that. We wish we be such an intimate friend of the Lord, you know. We exchange love. We give that pure love to the Lord, and Lord gives that, you know, reciprocation to us. How many of us don't want that? How many of us want that love, right? We all are looking for love, right? That pure love Lord can give.
But then they say the path through devotion is hardship also, right?
Yeah.
So that means if you are getting pain, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because your material balance is going to go down if your spiritual balance goes up.
Yeah.
So if you are comfortable, it doesn't mean that Lord is there.
No, but so how does hardship help? Because of hardship, you go to the Lord. Many people,
yeah.
Right? And that's what you're saying.
That's so if you're really comfortable,
but
sir, I'm chanting, so I'm really comfortable.
Lord gives whatever is needed for us to make progress.
But once you have that love, it's hard to forget him, right? I mean, it's automatically it becomes part of you. Then, do we forget our kids now? There's so much love out there.
Okay, we didn't even do one verse today. So we'll continue.
Yeah, that is a good track. Huh?
This
good
is the good track.
That is good one. Otherwise, it looks like we are in fast track train.
Okay. Well, that's good, Ian. Whichever way works. Yeah. So we'll go to the next verse then. It's number 15.
Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvayatam brahma nityam yajne pratishtitam. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvayatam brahma nityam yajne pratishtitam.
Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas. And the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in the acts of sacrifice. Yeah, so this is what I linked to the earlier verse, right? So, you know, earlier verse, Krishna concluded saying, you know, Yajna are born out of prescribed duties. So, that's a continuation of this in verse number 15. So the regulated activities, you know, the prescribed duties are prescribed in the Vedas. And where are Vedas? Vedas are actually directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's the breath of Vishnu. Consequently, their conclusion is that all pervading transcendence, which is that Supreme Lord, is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. That means by doing the acts of sacrifice, we can attain the Supreme Lord.
Okay, one small question after reading so much. Here, when we say sacrifice, what exactly is sacrifice? When we say yajna or sacrifice, right? What exactly is it? I always visualize yajna, but is it really yajna or?
Sacrifice in real term is sacrifice is the one which pleases the Lord. No, it and there are different.
That's not an austerity we're talking about. Right?
It's not
Isn't
about
an
it's a sacrifice.
Offering? Sacrifice is
so
an
austerity.
No, here,
different than sacrifice or?
No, here in this context, the sacrifice which Krishna is talking about is the yajnas which are defined in the Vedas, right? Like there are, you do certain yajna to, you know, demigod Kali to get particular, you know, you get to eat meat and things like that. I don't know what are the details of that yajna, the sacrifice. That includes probably the fire sacrifice also. That may, I don't know what are the details, but that's also one kind of sacrifice. But for us, the sacrifice is Sankirtan yajna, right? That it doesn't, we don't do fire yajna every day, right? So that includes chanting of the holy names. So sacrifice is whatever is pleasing to Vishnu is called sacrifice. Sacrifice is meant to please Vishnu. It reminds me of an incident actually. In the beginning days of Krishna consciousness, I was just coming to, there is a group in Microsoft, MS Vedic, where they used to discuss Bhagavad Gita every Thursday. So that's how initially I joined Krishna consciousness. So I used to go there. And then after a few sessions, Govind Charan Prabhu, you know, he was conducting that. He was saying, you know, okay, after maybe like 2 months or something, why don't you prepare and you lead the session today? You know, all we have to do is read the verses. But for that, you know, you have to read, and that way it helps me to read more. Somehow, I don't know why, he was giving turn for everybody. I was still new, so I did that. Somehow I read and I presented whatever is there. So then he was saying, thank you for the sacrifice. I was thinking, what is this sacrifice? No, I didn't really. For us, we feel like sacrifice means we are really, you know, something is pinching, right?
We are parting with something. Or
yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what we feel, it's a sacrifice. Then I felt, I'm really enjoying doing it. What is the sacrifice here? I really enjoyed preparing the presentation and presenting the presentation. So, I didn't do any sacrifice. But whatever I did is pleasing to the Lord. So, it's a sacrifice. It's meant to please the Lord. So, it's a sacrifice. But in general,
any action or task in devotion.
Exactly. Yeah. Yajna. Yeah. 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 In later chapter, actually, Krishna says, you know, the sacrifice also can be in 3 modes: mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. 14th chapter, I think, will come.
So, yeah. And then yajna. So this is only karma kanda, right? Or
yeah.
Karma yoga. Karma,
yeah. Slowly leading.
So in bhakti yoga, there is no yajna.
Bhakti yoga yajna is Sankirtan yajna, right? Chanting of the holy names.
Okay, that is yajna.
Yajna,
yeah.
The yajna recommended for this age is the Sankirtan yajna, which is includes chanting of the holy name, offering prasadam, all the whole things in association, hearing, the shavanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, sahar, all the 9 processes of bhakti.
When we are using word yajna, is like really fire sacrifice yajna, or what is that term, little meaning of?
Yeah, that's what. In this context here, it's yajnas as defined in the Vedas. But for us, the yajna recommended is Sankirtan yajna, which includes the 9 process of bhakti.
Okay.
We missed last class, so.
Yeah. So sacrifice doesn't mean every. So it's all karma and sacrifice, right? Because all karma is done selflessly for someone else,
yes.
Is sacrifice.
Yes.
And offered, yeah.
Yes.
So even if I'm doing something for someone else, that's sacrifice.
Not someone else, only. Yajna by Vishnu. Yajna is meant to be meant to please Vishnu. That is called real term sacrifice. We can call it sacrifice. You know, I am giving some money to somebody. I am sacrificing. You know, they say, oh, parents say I sacrifice so much for you. It's the general term we use, right? But that in the sense that we part something. But real sacrifice is meant to please the Lord.
But helping others won't please Lord.
it will please the Lord if you can help them, somehow connect them to Krishna, help them spiritually.
Not in
materially also, if you help them, yeah, definitely Krishna will be pleased, yeah. But that will not be complete in itself.
Right, right.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, okay. Okay, we'll read few lines below. The Lord being omnipotent, it's almost half the paragraph. You got it.
The Lord being omnipotent can speak by breathing air, for as it is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord has the omnipotence to perform to each of his senses the actions of all the other senses. In other words, the Lord can speak through his breathing. He can impregnate by his eyes. In fact, it's said that he glanced over material nature and thus fathered all living entities. After creating or impregnating the conditioned souls into the womb of material nature, he gave his directions in the Vedic wisdom as to how such conditioned souls can return home, back to Godhead. We should always remember that the conditioned souls in material nature are all eager for material enjoyment. But the Vedic directions are so made that one can satisfy one's perverted desires, then return to Godhead having finished his so-called enjoyment. It's a chance for the conditioned souls to attain liberation. Therefore, the conditioned souls must try to follow the process of Vijna by becoming Krishna conscious. Even those who have not followed the Vedic injunctions may adopt the principles of Krishna consciousness, and that will take the place of the performance of the Vedic yajnas or karmas.
So the first part of this section which we read, where Prabhupada is talking about Lord's omnipotence, where there is a verse in Brahma Samhita as he was talking, right? Parashya Saktir Vividaya Shuvyate, where it says that Lord is all his senses are interchangeable. He can accept prasadam through eyes. He can impregnate the material nature through his eyes. Accept prasadam through eyes or ears. Yeah, one of it. Prabhupada says something. Yeah, and he can speak through his breathing. There is a very nice pastime actually. I don't know. I wish Raghunath Das Goswami. One of our acharyas, so Mukunda Goswami, okay, I don't know the names. Okay, one of the Vaishnava and his son, okay. So the Vaishnava is also very, very elevated. So they have the wife, everybody, family, they offer boga, everything. So one time, Vaishnava said, I have to go out. So, son, you offer boga today. I'll come and I'll accept the boga, I'll accept prasadam. I cannot offer. He told wife, make Rajboga and give it to the son. Son will offer. Son is 5-year-old. So then son takes the plate of Rajboga. He goes into the altar room. Right? Do you know the names, Prabhu?
I don't
Mukunda
know.
Goswami
I
and
story.
Story, yeah. So then he offers to the Lord. Lord, deity form, he stands there and he says, the small boy, right? Please accept. Then he doesn't see literally accepting. Then he starts crying. Please accept. I have come. Otherwise, my mom is going to hit me, and my dad is going to, in the sense, scold me. And my dad is going to. He has to come and eat prasadam. If it's not prasadam, how will he eat? He started crying. Then, seeing that boy's simple devotion, the Lord, he came out and he took the offering. He ate. He took little bit and he said, okay, that's enough. No, so much is remaining, you have to eat. Then he finished the whole plate. Then the boy comes back and mom was wondering in the sense, say, taking so much time, what is this boy doing? Comes back with the empty plate. And then, the lecture I was listening, Radhanath Maharaj was telling, mom, mothers, you will know for sure, if the boy goes with the plate, full plate, comes back with the empty plate, then what would have happened. So mother thought, this boy only ate. So anyway, father came back and father said, okay, Mata, give me prasadam. He said, no prasadam is not there. Then, what happened? Then she told all these things. Then she told, okay, let's make another offering. I'll again try to go, I'll go out. We'll ask the son to offer. We'll see what's happening actually. So then she made again, and then father acted as if he's going to go out, but he was secretly seeing, watching what's happening. Then the boy, same thing happened. The boy was offering laddu, and you know the Lord DT didn't take. Then he cried, and the DT came and started taking the laddu, and suddenly father saw and DT stopped. That's why the DT's form is there still, catching the half laddu is there. So then he understood that that actually my son is more, more pure devotee than me. Then later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, you are his father or he is your father? Then he accepts, actually he is my father because he is greater in devotion than me. In spiritual world, everything is measured by devotion, not by age. And sometimes we may feel, my daughter is speaking to me or telling me all these things and things, but it's all measured based on devotion. Yeah. So there, actually the Lord accepted through eyes. But then, moved by the pure devotion of the child, Lord himself came to accept it. So it's not that, when we may feel like, plate is as it is, what's happening. But as Prabhupada said, it becomes spiritualized. We are protected from all the, effects of this material world. Right? And also it's a mercy of the Lord. It's become prasadam now.
Prabhu is telling, father is Mukunda Das and son is Raghunandan.
Yeah. Thank you. Which Madhav Prabhu? That Prabhu. Mukunda Das and Raghunandan.
Yeah, Raghunandan.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, so that's the first section, and where it's Prabhupada is also saying that the Lord impregnated the material world through his eyes. So the beginning, when the material world is created, all the universes got emanated, right? Then the Lord glanced to the material nature, and all the living entities entered from his glance into the material world. Material creation. So, so that's the Shambhu Shakti of the Lord. That's how we get into the material creation. And at the same time, as we discussed earlier, Lord also gave the Vedas. And main purpose of the Vedas is for the living entities to condition souls to return back home, back to Godhead. It's a path back home. Right? So then, Srila Prabhupada is again summarizing the whole thing. We are meant to satisfy, we are meant for enjoyment here. So we have this gradual path of, fulfilling our desires at the same time, going towards liberation. Yeah. So, and a final point Srila Prabhupada is telling is that, we, even if we didn't follow any of this Vedic karma kandas, right? Initially, we are meant to do those things in order to have a bona fide living. Even if we didn't do all those things, Prabhupada is telling, if we just directly take to principles of Krishna consciousness, it's self-sufficient. It satisfies the need. Okay. Most of the time. Okay. I think we can do this next verse. Any questions or comments so far? Okay, we can do the next verse, text 760. Arjuna, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. So again Krishna is saying full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. So his life is waste. That's what Krishna is saying, literally. Because he is living only for satisfaction of senses. But actually there is a higher purpose for life. If you read Srila Prabhupada's purport, it's even more strong. We will read the purport.
The beginning?
Beginning, yeah.
I'm repeatedly confused about one time we were saying we don't
necessarily have to follow the path as what is described by Vedas, just do the bhakti yoga. And here repeatedly I am reading, you have to, whatever is being established through Vedas, so which is the right way to go about it?
So basically in this section Krishna is talking about karma khanda and gradually leading up to karma yoga. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned earlier that karma khanda is meant for people who, you know, it's a stage above sense gratification. But if we are at a stage where we can directly take to Krishna consciousness, it already, all the duties of karma khanda section are fulfilled already. So it's like, you know, there is a different levels of mathematics, right? 1 plus 1 is also equal to 2, and there is algebra, there is calculus, and there is higher levels. So if one is advanced enough or, you know, already ready to take up Krishna consciousness directly, because ultimately all this karma kanda and Vedas are all meant to come to Krishna.
Yeah, we talked about it. I mean, it's a guided path
yes.
to achieve the same goal.
Exactly.
Here, I guess you're being coached through
yes.
it, and a Krishna conscious
yes.
person would know how to do it without needing all of
yes,
this.
Yes, correct.
But
what Krishna is saying is, if you just live a life of sense gratification without minimally doing this yajnas in the Vedas, then you are living in vain and your life is full of sin. Got it? Just to have a bona fide living, we need to do this. Minimally this. But if that is a difficult process for me to do, better is to take Krishna consciousness. We have to do either of them essentially. Either take up direct Krishna consciousness or follow the Vedic injunctions mentioned in the Vedas, karma kandas, and all these things.
But isn't this book about following the Krishna consciousness?
Yes.
Then why repeatedly refer to
it? It's not repeatedly. Krishna is gradually leading up to that section, because he leading up to the karma yoga. So the verses 10 to 16, it's karma kanda leading up to karma yoga. So here Krishna is now talking between people in sense gratification versus people who are doing sacrifices. He is saying don't be there, at least do sacrifices.
But I know in chapter 2 there is also a verse which says Trigunya Visha Veda Jis Trigunya Varjana.
Exactly,
so
yes,
why,
correct.
Why come back to Veda again? Like, see, Lord Krishna already kind of bypassed it and he said, you know,
it's summarized, right? Second chapter is the
no.
summarized.
But Arjuna doesn't know, like, he's actually being told about, like,
see, that's the whole thing, right? Krishna also knows, and all of us also know, you know, kind by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, what is the ultimate thing we need to do. That's why these things are not meant for us. These things are meant for somebody who cannot take to direct Krishna consciousness. We don't have to go and try to, you know, figure out what are the different sacrifices in karma kanda I need to do.
But Arjuna doesn't,
because this, there are some audience, for them it's very, very relevant. That's why 99% of the Vedas is meant for them, because many people are not ready to give up material enjoyment at one shot. Even us, right? How much are we doing 100% Krishna consciousness? We know theoretically what is Krishna consciousness, but are we doing 100%? So we are also in the gradual path of Krishna consciousness. Similarly, people still, they are addicted to eating meat. So we, if we say, you know, you cannot even enter temple, how is it possible? So for them, we say, oh, you eat meat at home, but you come and do service in temple. So there is a gradual path for them.
So
but it's not meant.
We have to assume that we are those people in order to go through this text, that we are those people who are kind of caught in that material nature. And so our path is being directed by following what's in Vedas. Krishna is trying to direct
yes.
us that way. We shouldn't consider ourselves as people who are Krishna towards Krishna consciousness directly.
At least,
right, because this text you said is meant for those people, and since we are reading, so we are those people.
No, essentially we have two options. Why? Okay, three options. One is forget about everything, just live the way we were living, full of sense gratification. Don't worry about anything, right? We can do that. Then Krishna is calling us, you know, sinful thieves. Okay, we don't care what Krishna calls. You know, we don't even have knowledge. We want to live like that. Okay, so we'll stay there. Then we start thinking, okay, is there a better, you know, am I supposed to do something? I'm receiving so much from nature. Am I obligated to somebody? No, am I supposed to do something? If we question that, then we say, you know, there are two ways. Okay, there, because if you owe so many things from nature and so many people, you are supposed to do certain sacrifices. All these sacrifices are detailed in the Vedas. There's so many, 99% of Vedas. You go read Vedas and find some teacher who can teach that Vedas in Sanskrit. You can translate, understand that, and live by that. Okay, live and gradually, you know, by satisfying this material enjoyment after life, after life, after life. someday we'll understand the goal of Vedas is to come to Krishna, and then we'll take up Krishna consciousness if we need or no. Otherwise, okay, this is too long. I'm eager, you know, is there a fast process? I'm inquiring, can you please tell me? Okay, fast process is Krishna consciousness. Forget about all these things. You serve, water the root of the tree, everything is fulfilled. Just chant the holy names of Krishna. You serve Krishna, change, mold over your life for serving Krishna. That way, all the other purposes also serve. No, do you want to take this option? Yes, I want to take. So.
Yeah, but I think what we're trying to distinguish between is, yes, we want to take that option, but this book is not meant for people who are
doing that.
This is for the common people. Right?
Book you cannot say, but this section, karmakandas are applied for people who are, first of all, not in knowledge of Krishna consciousness, or who don't want to take up Krishna consciousness. They want to do some kind of, you know, pious activity, something just to satisfy themselves and just to feel good. And, you know, just go by.
So, we are reading this just for our understanding. It doesn't apply to us. But we are
getting information from all these options are there.
Yes.
You have to choose.
Yes. We can choose what we want.
So, another way I would think is also, like, if you look at Arjuna and, you know, this is, he's a Kshatriya.
Exactly.
Man of action. You know, so then he cannot fully renounce everything. Right, or lead, right? So for them, or for even many of us, right, if you're living mostly very action-oriented, then you perform all these activities, you know, Vedic activities, right?
So we cannot renounce activity, that's what Prabhu is saying. You know, while doing our activities, we should figure out how to keep up our Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
That's what Prabhu is telling, you know?
Activities anywhere we have to do.
Yeah, we can read this.
The Mammonist philosophy of work very hard and enjoy sense gratification is condemned herein by the Lord. Therefore, for those who want to enjoy this material world, the above mentioned cycle of performing yajnas is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, actually, Divya, watch this carefully. You know, whatever we're discussing, it's completely summarized here.
One who does not follow such regulations is living a very risky life, being condemned more and more. By nature's law, this human form of life is specially meant for self-realization in either of the three ways, namely karma yoga, jnana yoga or bhakti yoga. There is no necessity of rigidly following the performances of the prescribed yajnas for the transcendentalists who are above vice and virtue. But those who are engaged in the sense gratification require purification by the above mentioned cycle of yajnas, yajna performances. There are different kinds of activities. Those who are not Krishna conscious are certainly engaged in sensory consciousness. Therefore, they need to execute pious work. The yajna system is planned in such a way that sensory conscious persons may satisfy their desires without becoming entangled in the reaction of sense gratification work.
Yeah, we can pause there. So it's very clear, right? So people who still want to have material enjoyment and they are in sensory consciousness, so they need to do certain yajna so that gradually they get purified. No, there is a path for them. But if they want to remain there, no problem, they can remain there. But there is a path provided for gradual purification, right? But otherwise, if you are transcendentalists, or you know, who already want to worship Vishnu or Krishna, or who already want to take up Krishna consciousness, for them, they don't need to go back and do all the karmakanda yajnas. Because why? All purposes served by the well is already fulfilled by small pool of water, right? Which verse is that? Prabhu, you answered after that.
No.
So 2.46 verse. Krishna says, right? That's where very close to that, you know, Traigunya Vishya Veda, right? Next two verse. So text 46, right? Translation. All purposes served by the small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. Got it? So if we have a great reservoir of water, whatever we need from water, right, you know, washing or dear clothes or, you know, drinking or everything can be also be fulfilled, which we get from small well. We have a greater reservoir of water. Similarly, if you are already serving the Lord, who is the goal of Vedas, we don't need to go back and, you know, do all these minor things of Vedas. Right? The same thing. If you are already taken to Krishna consciousness, then you don't need to go and do this Karmakanda process. But if you are not inclined to Krishna consciousness, or some reason we are not attracted, but we want to do this, you know, be good living kind of thing, then while doing sense gratification, we can slowly do little of this yagyas.
All is boiling the ocean, so doing Veda thing is boiling the ocean, but doing Krishna consciousness is boiling a small pot of water.
So in the Vedas, all these sacrifices are to the elements, right? Earth, water, fire. Is it?
They are to demigods.
Demigods.
Yeah.
So they are the
owner of those elements.
Itself,
yes.
Right?
Okay. I think we completed this section. That this is the whole section about Karma Kanda leading to Karma Yoga. Right? So I think it's a nice segue. We can stop here. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Last time we were supposed to complete the whole section, we couldn't do. So we did two verses. Anyway, we are trying to do our best, you know, however it turns out, that's how it is.
So the goal is for two verses every session, is that right?
One section.
The goal depends on how many people come. How many people ask questions?
If the purport, I think that would be helpful. Maybe it will take just one more minute, right? So
yeah.
It is just a thought.
Yeah, maybe we can read the purport, but we'll comment on only some section of the purport. Okay. But some purports are very big. Actually, yeah. Okay, we can stop it. Hare Krishna.
First class.